Back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you, as I am every Wednesday. If you missed any of the earlier part of today's show, we spoke with Rock Creek and Wamego Schools. You can go online, newsradiokman.com, go to the on-demand tab, go down to In Focus, and you can listen to that one when we get that posted a little bit later. You can listen to yesterday, last week, probably the year before, maybe the year before that, as long as we've archived them on our website. Now I am here with Riley County Health Department with Julie Hettinger and Brandon Irwin, Community Liaison for the Riley County Health Department. Welcome this morning.
Thanks for having us.
And our topic is the Flint Hills Wellness Coalition, and a busy time. You guys got a lot going on.
We do, yes. So the Flint Hills Wellness Coalition really works to create a healthier community, and we're doing that through policy systems, environment, and personal changes. So we have been very busy lately.
You have, and you got some events coming. Do you have an event coming up, or you just got a series of events coming up?
We do have an event coming up. We have a food and farm stakeholder meeting on September 28th. And that's going to be mostly focused around having a healthy local food system.
And talk about the importance of that. It seems like something that, at least with the health department, I feel like there's just more traction in the last couple of years with the health department on that. That's something that's kind of been on everybody's minds. I'm going to the farmer's market more, which I encourage everybody to do. It's a good time. Brandon, talk about the importance of these topics and why they matter so much to our community.
Yeah, well, we might start with the importance of a coalition in the first place. You know, when we think of health, our minds immediately go to, you know, the hospital, right? Sort of the medical side of health.
Or exercise.
Or exercise and these kinds of things. Yeah, exactly. But what you realize pretty quickly in the public health world is that if you're just focusing on, you know, access to medical care or the quality of medical care and treating, you know, illnesses and diseases as they pop up, you're really not getting to the root cause and the prevention side of, you know, of health issues. And those root causes are things like policies and systems. And what does it take to sort of address those things? It really takes people working together, you know, between these different agencies and agencies that are outside of this medical sort of system that we have. And certainly that's part of, you know, being in a coalition, or part of our coalition is having those providers in there. But, you know, if you really want to get to the nitty-gritty of, you know, root causes of people's health, you need to bring in other folks. You need to bring in social service agencies. You need to bring in the school system. You need to bring in local businesses. You know, you have to look at health from this holistic approach. And that's really what this coalition is about, getting all those folks at the table to talk about how we can create a healthier community.
And give us a little background on the coalition. When did this form? How did it form?
Yes, so the coalition started in 2011, and it really was focused just on nutrition at that point and access to healthy food. So since that time, we've really evolved. We've done a community needs assessment in 2014 and realized there was several needs in the community, and those ranged from childcare to mental health. So out of those needs, we prioritized and picked three that we really thought could make an impact in our community. So not that there aren't things going on in those other kind of need areas, but we chose as a coalition to focus on the mental health, to focus on transportation, and then access and coordination of services. So from that, we've really created different work groups who are starting to look at different action plans to, one, kind of record what's already happening in those areas, but then set some goals on where we want to go.
I think one thing that a lot of people notice, and I'm sure your group has noticed, is just how interconnected all these issues are. Mental health, healthy eating, exercise, all these things work very well together when you're talking about the topic of wellness.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's exactly why you have to get all these different folks at the same table talking about these issues. I mean, you can imagine, you know, somebody from, let's say, Pawnee Mental Health trying to solve this, you know, the huge issue of, you know, lack of access to mental health care in the community, like they're not going to be able to do that on their own, right? There's a huge system, or, you know, there's conditions outside of, you know, this one organization that also make it difficult for people in the community to access that care. And it requires other people at the table.
One topic that I know you guys talk about a lot when you talk about health equity, what does that really mean for our listeners?
Yeah, so, well, it's probably the easiest way to sort of describe that is to just kind of sketch out a couple scenarios, right? And so let me tell you about Jose. So I met a man named Jose a few months ago down at the Breadbasket, and he's been living in Manhattan for 10 years, moved from Puerto Rico, and he was telling me what it was like for him living in Manhattan. And Jose has emphysema. He lives on one side of town and works on the other, and he used to be riding his motorized bicycle from, you know, to and from work. And one day he was told that he can't ride that, you know, he needs a driver's license to ride that bike, right? And I looked into it. There is a, you know, law that says you have to have a license to operate that. But, you know,
is it like a scooter or like one of those that looks just like a bicycle but they are motorized?
I haven't seen it, but it's okay. It's not a motorcycle. It's okay. One of those motorized, right. You know, kind of bicycles. And yet, you know, there's still, you know, these little scooters, you know, like these, you see, you know, a lot of college students zipping around on them, you know, on campus, you know. You still see those, you know, zipping around all over the place. But anyway, so Jose had to start riding his bicycle to work. Not his motorized bike, but his bicycle. And this put a real strain on Jose. And he got really unhealthy. He got really depressed. And also, you know, he tried to get a license, a driver's license. And, you know, not being a native English speaker, he had a lot of difficulty there. And couldn't really figure out what he had to do in order to get that license. So he never ended up getting his driver's license. And so here's Jose. He's not in real good shape right now. And another way to say that is he's not healthy. And, you know, there's certainly some things that Jose could do in, you know, to get a license. But the point here is that Jose is part of this of a community that, for whatever reason, is allowing him to slip through the cracks. Right? We have a system here that is not perfect, of course, but is not meeting Jose's needs. And health equity is the concept that, you know, there are some people in the community who are systematically not getting their health needs met, and Jose is a pretty good example of that.
Very good. And, you know, when you think about it, when you think about individual health, I mean, really, it ultimately sums up the community health, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Julie, your thoughts on health equity?
Yeah, so health equity really to us means that we don't let those people slip through the cracks. So we have people who are going to be coming together to look at some of the systems and challenges that people have, to whether that's accessing healthcare or accessing healthy food. So it could be a variety of things, and we don't know at this point what that focus will be. So it's really important that we're going to be bringing in the people who are facing these challenges to help identify what it is that will actually help them, what the solutions will be.
Again, Brady Bowman with Julie Hettinger with the Riley County Health Department, and Brandon Irwin, the Community Liaison for the Health Department, talking about the Flint Hills Wellness Coalition. If you have any questions, comments for them while we have them here for about another 5-10 minutes, give us a call. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. And, you know, when you talk about a lot of those points, and it seems like the Manhattan community, we have some of those things sort of in place. We have Adibus when we're talking about transportation for folks who may not have their own source of transportation necessarily. We're talking about the Flint Hills Bread Basket. And we do have Pawnee Mental Health. So we do have some of those things there, but what are ways we can make all that a little bit better? Is it just access? Make it a wider net, I guess you can say?
Well, as you might expect, it's complicated, and it really depends on what we're talking about. But you know, let's take let's take another example here to kind of demonstrate.
You know what, Brandon? Mm-hmm. Before you go into that example, we do have a phone call. Let's go ahead.
Great.
Let's go ahead and take that phone call real quick. Caller, you're on In Focus. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And this is a great point that the caller makes, and a couple of points. One is that, you know, he's recognizing that something as, something like transportation or lack of transportation is actually a health issue, right? Like we always kind of come back to this idea that health has to do with whether or not we're sick. No, we're talking about the conditions, the community and the conditions that we've created that make achieving health harder or easier for some people than others. And of course, you know, folks who don't have, adequate transportation are at higher risk for things like the caller mentions, you know, higher stress, and, you know, by extension, you know, all kinds of other health needs, you know, access to care, getting to and from work, you know, getting paid,
you kinda know, helps,
getting to
it?
Work, you know, it really kind of clearly demonstrates this, you know, how connected these things are. And that's why transportation is one of the things that came out of this CHIP process. You know, we need to make sure that we're meeting people where they're at, in getting them the transportation that they need to live a healthy life in Manhattan.
Very, very true. How often do you guys meet? And if people are interested and want to help out, what do they do?
Yeah, so we have different work groups who meet usually on a monthly basis. Some of them vary a little bit. Some are more frequent or less frequent. So if people are interested in getting involved in the work groups or the coalition, they can go onto our website and we have a Get Involved page that they can input their information in there and just kind of tell us about what you're passionate about. Even if your passions don't fit into one of our work groups right now, that's okay. Just log on, let us know what you care about, let us know what you're passionate about. So our website is flinthillswellness.org.
Just got a few minutes before we get Rob Ott in here with the City of Manhattan. Anything else that we may have missed that you want to go over real quick?
Yeah, you know, just one more thing to add on to sort of this health equity effort that we have going on here. And, this effort, this three-year project that we're just starting right now, it's really in its earliest stages. You know, it's really about changing the conditions in the community that, you know, will make it a more equitable place and easier for some folks to achieve, you know, this highest level of health that everybody else has access to. And you might say, well, what does that look like and how does that happen? And we don't know exactly what that action is yet, but just think for a second about how every kind of major policy or systems change has ever happened. And it's happened through people coming together organizing and advocating for some kind of change. And, you know, my position is called, you know, community liaison, but you can really think of me and my role as a community organizer. You know, it's about getting people who are affected by, you know, health inequity issues, who don't have the same kinds of opportunities to achieve optimal health as some other folks do, getting them together, empowering those people to advocate for the changes that are going to impact their lives.
And really, when you look at some of these things, I think for some people, they might hear some of these ideas and just maybe worry about a bunch of dollar figures and money signs. But a lot of this is also just organizational efforts, not necessarily that there's any sort of big price tag on some of these ideas. It's really just organizing.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, this project is funded by the Kansas Health Foundation. And one of their huge priorities right now is something called civic health, right? Getting people involved in civic life, like organizing and advocating, you know, at the city and county level to make changes that improve health, right? They recognize the direct link between being a healthy citizen or, you know, being an engaged citizen and community health. And this project is really a sort of full-on investment in that concept.
Very good. Julie, anything you want to add real quick?
I don't think so. That's it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, great.
Thanks for coming on. FlintHillsWellness.org. Go check it out. You want to change something, start at the local level first. We'll be back with more In Focus right here on News Radio KMAN.